Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. The week's off to a rocking and rolling start, isn't it? The Sports Machine with Slim is here to help you recap the sports action from this weekend. We'll also preview the Celtics and Bruins, who both play tonight. We'll preview their weeks. We'll talk a little bit about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin touched $72,000 this morning, currently sitting at $71,790 for one piece of magic, imaginary internet money, $71,000. I heard Donald Trump talk on CNBC this morning. That was a big interview. I took 30, 45 minutes to listen to him. Why not? He's always fun to listen to because he just kind of rambles. It was great. The interviewers were asking him questions, and you could hear them kind of like wanting to, oh, I just want to ask him a question. I want to stop him. I want to talk about it. Trump just keeps on going, telling his thing. Pretty much does the same stuff every time, doesn't he? But he has a point on some of the stuff, no question about it. All right. That's enough politics talk to start the show. Let's get into the weekend action that's on top of everybody's mind. New Hampshire, Division One, boys and girls basketball finals held at the University of New Hampshire yesterday. I was there in attendance with my kids and my wife for the boys Division One basketball finals, which started at 4 o'clock. Pinkerton against Nashua North. And if you followed the show at all last week, and even my pregame talk that I put out on Facebook, I was worried Nashua North was going to win the game. I thought they had an incredible advantage athletically at the guard position. Their guards are super-duper fast on Nashua North. The game comes out and gets started, and Pinkerton jumps out to a lead. They carry the lead throughout the entire first half until Nashua North goes on a big run at the end of the first half. They're up by two. It's coming down 10 seconds. Nashua North has the ball, kicks it over to the guard. Point guard rises up, boom, nails a three at halftime. So Nashua North goes up by five and had all the momentum because early in the game, I think Pinkerton's lead had gotten out to like 11 points. And Nashua North just stormed back, and their pressure was working. The transition game for Nashua North, they were just super-duper fast. They were getting to the rim at the end of that first half. You come out in the second half, and I'm expecting, like, oh, no. But the Pinkerton fans showed up, especially that student section. And I talk about here on the Sports Machine with Slim all the time about the power of the crowd inside the stadiums, the fans. You have an impact on the result of the games that you're attending. I can't say this loud enough. And it seems to me that like people have forgotten this. People that go to the stadiums nowadays, I talked about it last week when I went to the TD Garden with my wife last Thursday to watch the Bruins. And it's like they only cheer when they're prompted and told to cheer up on the big TV screen. Like, make some noise. So everybody starts to cheer, yay! And then defense, and then the music pipes in, dun, dun, defense, dun, dun. And it's like people now just don't have the just freewheeling, like, okay, I see something cool. All right, I'm going to comment. All right, let's go. Let's cheer. Let's watch. It's like, oh, no, wait, I have to watch the game. But wait a minute, they'll tell me when to cheer. Let me look up at the thing. Let me see if it's, no, it doesn't say so. So don't cheer. Don't clap. No. Let's just watch the game. And it's like that doesn't give the players any advantage. The Pinkerton fans, the Pinkerton student section especially, and I will say, and this goes as a big shout out to the Pinkerton High School head coach, who I don't even know who he is. When Nashua North got the ball, every single possession of the game, I saw the bench kids for Pinkerton start up the defense, defense. And this is in Lundholm Stadium, which is the old UNH gym. So they've got two on campus. The Whittemore is the gigantic one. I thought that's where the games were going to be, but no. It's in the Lindholm, the old gym that when I was a freshman at UNH, that's where we played our basketball games. The big gym was just being built back then in the 92 to 96 time frame. But it's still a relatively big gym. And when you just had the Pinkerton bench players, seven or eight of them, defense, defense, immediately the student section for Pinkerton, of which there were probably 150 kids, actually maybe 250, in the row. They were all pretty much in one row. On half the gym was the Pinkerton side. The other half was Nashua North. There were five sections pretty much in each side. The first section were the Pinkerton kids. All the kids sat in a group together pretty much. And defense, defense, all game long they did it. And at times that chant kind of moved through the rest of the crowd. I was in it. My five-year-old son was doing it. Defense, defense. My daughter was doing it. So a bunch of people in the area started it up. That type of attitude, the willingness as a fan to almost go and like work out. You're yelling, you're clapping, you're expending energy. The players feel that. When the Pinkerton Astros came back onto the court at halftime from the locker room, we erupted. Like, we were there like, let's go, Pinkerton, let's go. And I'm telling you, those players came out of that locker room jacked up, and I don't know what happened energy-wise. I don't know what was said in the locker room by the coach, but Pinkerton comes out and storms to a... I mean, immediately they go up by 5-6 points. They turn that difference right around, and they end up winning by like 16. And at the end, there was nothing Nashua North could do. Pinkerton, the big guy in the middle there, the Jackson Marshall cat, who's been averaging 37.5 points a game, he dominated on the glass. I thought he actually interior defense, kind of challenging the guards when they did break containment and got to the rim. Nashua North's guards a couple of times. He come over and, I mean, put a big block or a couple of times. One time he fouled a guy pretty good. I mean, it wasn't intentionally, but that dude went to the ground hard, that poor little guy. And, you know, that did not feel good the way that happened. So he was an intimidating force in the middle, and the guards came through for Pinkerton. I think it was Brandon, number zero, last name. He had 20-something points, drained some huge threes, and it was number 25. I don't remember his name, but what a solid all-around player that kid is. So good for you, Pinkerton. Champions on the boys. On the girls' side of things, Pinkerton went up against an absolute machine at 7 o'clock. I wasn't able to stay later, unfortunately, so I didn't see what was going on there. The girls' team ends up losing. I was following it on Twitter, and it's the poster on Twitter was saying that Pinkerton was in the lead, and I was all kinds of excited. Like, wow, Bedford was 21-0, had just been demolishing every single team that they played. And Pinkerton, I thought, had turned the corner. That's what they were telling me on social media, but no. Whoever was telling me that was not telling me the truth. So there we go. That's the start of the show. I wanted to work in the Pinkerton piece. Congratulations to those kids. It's nice to be a champion, isn't it, Pinkerton? It's nice to be a champion. You worked your tails off all year long, and you went in, and you were up against it. You responded to some serious, serious competition, being down by five at halftime. To come out of that locker room and perform the way that you guys did, you get a lot of credit from me, former Pinkerton alum. You know who else gets some credit from me? The Boston Celtics. Let's turn to the professional ranks right now. The Boston Celtics had a couple of tough losses. Cleveland blew a 22-point fourth-quarter lead. Hey! And then, who did we play after that? It was, my gosh, Denver? I ought to go back and look at the schedule here with the Boston Celtics. I'm all over the map, but yeah, we lose Denver, right? It was 115-109, but it wasn't really that close. Well, we play Phoenix, who's been pretty hot. We play them on Saturday. And you know Phoenix is coming looking to beat us. Well, guess what? We're looking to beat them, too. Why? Because, I mean, you don't want to lose three in a row. If you're a great team in basketball, you like, after you lose one, you don't like it. But if you lose two in a row, you're kind of mad. Like, no, dude, we're too good for this. We're coming in. You're going to get our attention. And Phoenix had our attention. And, you know, we went in there and just dominated the game all the way through. Jaylen Brown had 18 points in the first half. He just continues to impress the heck out of me. Jaylen Brown, I don't know, you know, what's happened. It's something to do with the All-Star break. That's all I can tell you is that dunk competition, you could tell the fans were not on his side at that dunk competition. He came out with an inspired effort. Remember, he scored 40-something in the All-Star game itself. And then since the All-Star break, let's look at the numbers. We'll break it down when we come back here as we go to commercial. The Sports Machine with Slim, New Hampshire's next generation sports talk radio show. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it right here, nhtalkradio.com. Sports Machine with Slim. Celtics and Bruins. They're going to dominate the show today. You know why? Because Mac Jones, really? I'm listening to EEI on my drive in, and they're talking about Mac Jones, and what do they think? I was like, who cares, dude? Why do you need to even talk about that? I know people love the Patriots so much, but do they? I mean, do the fans really love the Patriots, or did we just love the winning that we did when Tom Brady was here? Like, how much does everybody love the Patriots this past season? What was there to love? It stunk. Team was horrible. It was like embarrassing to root for that team. We have Mitty, who comes on tomorrow. He'd come up with a song about how bad the Patriots suck now and how, like, we're all stressed out because we just suck now. You know, I mean, fans didn't enjoy watching the Patriots. And if you go through that a few more years, people are not going to care about the Patriots at all, especially not care enough to talk on a Monday about Mac Jones being traded for a sixth-round pick. Who the heck cares? He wasn't going to play. Thank goodness it's changing the page, turning the page. But, like, dude, the Patriots, the Celtics and the Bruins both have, like, a tremendous opportunity to go all the way in the NHL and the NBA. The Celtics, unquestionably, are the most talented team in the NBA. Talent, we'll see how far that gets you. Heart, desire, that matters more. And I'm seeing a lot of it from Jaylen Brown. Okay, Jaylen Brown, I've said a few times over the last couple weeks about his attitude, how he's like, he's a bit of a showman. And I say that in a good way, because he hasn't been that way in his first 5-6 years here with the Celtics. I've never seen Jaylen Brown be like tremendously outspoken on the court. Not like disrespectful to other players and stuff like that. He's kind of just been a good dude. That's why I've liked him, even though he had so many turnovers and stuff. He's had, you know, many negatives in addition to all his positives through the last 5-6 years. I mean, we've been a good team, but he hasn't been able to help the team get over the next hump. What he's doing right now since the All-Star break, people, he's doing his part, is all I can tell you, to drive to the hoop. And the reason why it's so important is it sets a mentality and a tone for, like, the rest of the team. If Jaylen Brown, when he catches the ball, he's the highest paid guy in the NBA, isn't he? His contract that he signed this offseason, it's right up there. So if that dude is willing to accept his role for this team, which is, we need somebody who's going to go to the hoop, put your head down, don't mess around. Don't be dribbling this way, that way. Get to the hoop. And if you watch the Celtics right now, like, there's nobody really that's able to stop him. It's been 7 games or so since the All-Star break. And I will say, this game against Phoenix, Jaylen Brown finishes with 27 points. Okay? 10 of 21 from the field. He was 3 of 7 from 3. This is actually a good thing. Like, 3 of 7 from 3, you go, oh, well, he's still shooting a lot of threes. But the thing is, if you're making baskets when you're driving to the hoop, which he was from 2, he was 7 for 14, driving to the hoop or shooting mid-range. Those are the types of shots Jaylen takes, or in transition, obviously. When you score a layup, when you get to the hoop and put it in, There's something about seeing that ball go through the basket. And so Jaylen Brown, then, hey, you're open from three? Fire it, dude. You're feeling good. You feel like your next shot doesn't matter where it is. If it's in a layup or if it's from three, it's going to go in. So Jaylen Brown has this mentality now where, like, I'm going to shoot. It's going to go in. And I'm going to the hoop because you can't stop me. And that mentality, once you're that good and that strong, and if you look at the guy, every single year he comes back more jacked. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a physical specimen to look at this cat. Sometimes things just click. And if that clicks, and you have a Jaylen Brown who can score literally 25 to 30 points every single night, it's not can score, it's is scoring. If I click on his numbers, and I'm about to right now, say, Jaylen Brown, what's he averaging? 22 a game. Okay, that's awesome. Let's look at the game log and what he's been doing since we come back from the All-Star break. Okay, that's back in November as I'm scrolling through. 27, 41, 21, 29, 25, 31, 30. 21, 36. He's hot. Jaylen Brown is hot, and it's not just banging away from three. It's going to the hoop. If he can do this, Denver's the only team probably that can stop us. I mean, I'd like to see us play the Clippers, too, because Kawhi Leonard can kind of stop anybody from getting to the hoop if he wants to, or at least he used to be able to. So that will be a little bit of a different thing. So let's just say we play the Clippers in the finals. Jaylen Brown's guarded by Kawhi. Kawhi stops that penetration. Now Jaylen Brown can't get to the rim anymore. What's going to happen after that? The thing the Celtics need to understand is Tatum needs to go to the basket then. We understand Jaylen Brown needs to go to the hoop. Jason Tatum needs to go to the hoop. And you need to know you can get there. Just like Jaylen Brown is right now, Tatum has to be able to do that at the same time. Tatum right now is kind of being passive a lot of times. And, okay, go ahead. If he gets hot from outside, okay, great. But you need to have both guys operating at the same, like, maximum efficiency level, saying, I'm going to go to the hoop when we need a basket. I'm going to get there. They can't stop me. There are not two defenders on the same team in this league who can stop both of those guys from getting to the hoop. There just aren't. They're not two guys. I mean, James Harden going to try to stop one of them? You don't have it. So you got to find a way for both of them keep going to the hoop. And if we do, I mean, the Celtics win it all this year. What's to stop us in the future? Next year? The year after? Like, these guys are young enough, 26, 27 years old. We could have a run here over the next 5 years where the Celtics are, like, legit in the finals every year. Could. We could have won a title already. Could doesn't matter. You got to get it done. That's why I said to Pinkerton kids, you guys got it done, baby. You guys got it done when it mattered, down five at halftime. You dug deep and you went out and you made it happen. Celtics, your opportunity is now. You have to get this done. This week we play tonight at Portland. No Damian Lillard on Portland anymore. They stink. Tuesday at Utah. Thursday we play at home against Phoenix. And then Sunday at Washington. So we got three games in 4 nights coming up starting tonight. Celtics, I mean, we're steamrolling towards the playoffs, people. And this is where the sports machine was slim. I keep saying the playoff run, this is going to be the place where you can come, call 603-224-1450. That's the number, 603-224-1450. You can call in at any time to get on the air to talk Celtics, to talk Bruins. You want to talk Mac Jones, I guess we could do that, but I'd rather not. You want to talk Bitcoin? I'd love to do that. I'd love for somebody to call in and start talking cryptocurrency with me. It's like, oh, yeah, come on. Let's go. 72,000. That's where we're at right now. 72,000 and going up. Nuts. A lot of money to be made out there in that space. Speaking of money, that game Thursday night, I didn't mention this, I don't think, Friday. Or did I? We bought two drinks. The bill was $42, $41. And I'm just livid at that this is acceptable. I started to talk to some people in the stands around me. I said, hey, do you people come to a lot of games? And this and that. I said, what's the deal with the price of the drinks? Like, what the bleep? It was $40-something dollars for a Maker's Mark. And it was two Maker's Mark. One was Maker's Mark and ginger ale. One was on the rocks. One for me, one for my wife. Are you kidding me? $40-something dollars? And we allow this as a society? How's this acceptable? How did it get to this point, everybody, where you're paying $1 million to go to a basketball game or a hockey game in the first place, and then when you get there, you have to pay $20-something dollars for a drink? Maybe they just don't want people to drink a lot, which I guess I can be on board with that. That makes some sense, but just that's expensive. That's expensive. And people pay it. There's people in the lines. Need to hit on a lot of Bitcoin to be able to afford to go to the basketball and hockey games nowadays. Let's talk about the Bruins when we come back. Smashed Pittsburgh on Saturday, 5-1. This team's so awesome. I'm going to tell you about it when we come back. The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Play at St. Louis tonight, at Montreal Thursday, and then at home against Philly on Saturday. So three games this week. For people that don't know, the Bruins are right near the top of the league. 96 games played. They got 91 points. Ford is at the top of the Eastern Conference. They've played one game less. They got 92 points. Ford has been playing very well. Toronto Maple Leafs were 9 points ahead of... In the other side of the Eastern Conference, here, Metropolitan Division, New York Rangers are at the top, 86 points. So Bruins got 5-point advantage on them, but they do have three games in hand. So we got some games to play. The Bruins have rounded into form, baby. We've won two in a row. If you remember correctly, here we won 4-1 against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the game that we went to on Thursday at TD Garden. And then come back Saturday, beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-1. So that's 9-2 in our last two games. And that's Saturday is the first game since the All-Star break. I guess Linus Ullmark, there had been a trade put in place. Who knows if this is accurate or not? Okay, but there's reports that the Bruins had a trade in place to send Linus Ullmark to the Los Angeles Kings. And he has a no-trade clause to, I think, 14 teams or something like that. Thomas Polk mentioned it last week on the air here. And I guess Linus Ullmark said, no, I don't want to relocate out there. I don't want to take my family and the kids out of school or whatever to go out that way. And yeah, I guess the word I heard was that it's tough to walk into a locker room in a new team and just be like, okay, they've reached this point in the season. Well, I'm going to be here now, and I'm going to be the main guy. I'm the goalie. You know, it's just a big chemistry thing. And on top of that, Leighton Sumbach said, I love it here in Boston. I love this team. I don't want to go anywhere else. Like, that's Friday. Trade deadline Friday. Saturday. First game since that, and we get Hampus Lindholm back. Our best defensive player from last year, Charlie McAvoy definitely this year. But Lindholm comes back. We beat up Pittsburgh 5-1. Are you kind of seeing what's happening with the Bruins team? If you've been listening over the last few months, I mean, I've been in the trenches with them saying, this is the team. People were jumping off the bandwagon. I said, Jim Montgomery, this is the coach. People on social media saying dumb things. It's like, hey, you're not here for the regular season, people. Didn't you pay attention last year? Like, this coach is not dumb. He knows you got to do something different. You got to prepare for the playoffs. You got to be playing your best hockey in the playoffs. The regular season record matters, but only so much. You want to be playing your best hockey at the end of the season, and that's what's happening right now. And you still, if you go on social media, you want to go on Facebook, you want to go on Twitter, the Bruins fans will still continue to doubt. And I don't get it. I don't understand what you're watching. The physicality of the Bruins is tremendous. Every time we play a great team, the best teams in hockey, we play our best against, and we bring out the checking. Hockey nowadays is like mostly soft. It's skill. That's why you got a team like Edmonton with so much skill that has never won nothing here. They get in the playoffs and they lose because it's a different game in the playoffs. It's physical. It's checking. And the Bruins, if you watch more and more here, we're playing that style. And the games in the playoffs are going to be nuts. The top-end talent for the Bruins is right there with the top-end talent on any other team. It just is. Pasternak is a magician. Charlie McAvoy is a total wizard. Like, we need to appreciate getting a chance to watch this guy on the offensive end. He does his job great on the defensive side, but when he carries the puck into the zone, he knows where to go. He knows where to put it to get us the best chance we have to score. Anytime you watch Charlie McAvoy with the puck in the offensive end, it's just like, dude, something good's going to happen. I love that cat. Zacha is playing fantastic. I think he had 2 goals on Saturday. And the biggest guy that I'm telling you, I said it last week, is Jake DeBrusque. I did not want to trade this guy because he's got huge potential. He's physical. He's got an attitude. You can see when he's amped up and he's out there, like, he makes plays. He scored a goal on Saturday. A guy like that, you don't want to trade away because if you just hit the right time with him, he can go on a monster run for us. He's got the talent. He's got the size and ability. And I think we're starting to see it. I think Jake DeBrusque is going to be like the man, dude, coming up here in the playoffs. So we got to just keep up with it. Bruins fans, keep up with it. When you go to the games, cheer. Get the people around you. Hey, are we going to cheer tonight or what? We're going to be all quiet, or we're going to make a little bit of noise in this section. Is that all right? And make friends with the people next to you. That's what we need to do. If we do that, I'm telling you, it's going to be like Pinkerton. You're going to make a difference. If that can just spread throughout the whole stadium, everybody cheering, ravenous sports fans, we want the cup. Bruins have the ability. We got 2 goaltenders who are pulling for each other. There's no, like, oh, I'm secretly hoping this guy has a bad game so I can play tomorrow. That's a natural human feeling to feel that way. It's not. It's about the team with these guys. We want to win. You get your chance tonight. I get my chance tomorrow. It's going to be something that's never been done in the playoffs. Every other night, we're switching goalies. And it's going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be all over the NHL talk, like social media. The announcers are going to be talking about it before the nationally televised games. Wow, Jim Montgomery, the strategy, every other goalie, it's every other night a different goalie. It's working. That's what's going to happen in the future, and it's awesome. The Bruins right now, what are our odds to win it all? Because as I write things down today, I will let people know. For segment 4, we're going to talk some college basketball. I also am going to talk about the best thing I saw on Twitter this weekend. I think that's going to be somewhat funny. It's a joke, so stay tuned for that coming up here. And I laugh every time I think about it. I think it's pretty funny. Hopefully I can deliver it the right way. I forgot where I was going with that Bruins thing, but whatever. We're talking college basketball, and there were some huge games on Saturday. Tennessee, Kentucky, Duke, UNC, Houston, Kansas. Yikes! Houston won by 30-something points. What? UConn, Providence. I think UConn was down 13-2 to start the game, come back and win. And then USC, Arizona, which leads me into where I was going before. I did bet a $100 parlay for the show, drew DraftKings on Saturday, college basketball. I talked to my brother Dave. He liked a few games. So did I. And we had that money in there. It's down to $600 now. But I bet $100 of it, parlayed UNC with Kansas and Providence and another team, but two of them didn't cover. I took the points, but wasn't enough. So we lost $100 there. We got $600 to spend. I think I'm going to bet the college tournaments and track it on the show here. So my brother Dave loves college basketball. He's one of our best callers, without a doubt. Been giving us tons of winners on the air. I've got a couple other friends that love some college basketball action, very knowledgeable. They'll be coming on to do previews and stuff. It's tournament time of year. We got the conference tournaments. This is conference tournament week in college basketball. And the big conferences don't kind of get started till I think Wednesday, Thursday. But the finals will be up Saturday, Sunday. And it's going to be college basketball all week as we head towards Selection Sunday. It's this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday is when the brackets will be chosen and people start to fill things out. That's exciting. So many different games. How are you going to know what teams, what guys? Well, I'm going to tell you, we'll give you some insight. We'll give you good insight here on the Sports Machine with Slim. So as the week goes on, stay tuned. We're going to definitely be talking college basketball every single day. I've got a team that I want to play to win the Pac-12 conference tournament that currently is 40-1. I'll talk about that when we come back from commercial break here. Segment four, I'm going to talk about a team that I saw play Saturday night, and something just registered with me, and I said, look at these guys, how they hustle. They got size. Wow. Yeah. Let's see what the odds are after this game on them to win the Pac-12 conference title. Tournament starts up, I think, Tuesday. Final should be Saturday, right? Memory serves me correct. Usually Pac-12 finals, I think Saturday night. 40-1. Now, I don't know if it's going to win, but I am going to tell you, if we bet $100 on it, that'll get you $4,100. If they win a game or two early, that'll be exciting to watch, won't it? So we're going to try and be all about excitement here on the Sports Machine with Slim over the next few weeks. College basketball tournament. My brother Dave last year was on fire with his teams and his picks. This year, Tennessee and Kentucky are my two. I'm going SEC, and my brother Dave says in the SEC they don't play any defense except Auburn and Tennessee. But I just think Kentucky, if you watch Calipari through the years, these young teams, when they got potential and they head in the right direction towards the end of the season, man, they become ultra dangerous in the tournaments. And I think Kentucky's gearing up to do something special this year, as is the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You know it. You're doing the right thing. You know you're in the right place. NHTalkRadio.com. We're coming back with the best thing I saw on Twitter this weekend. Just went on ESPN. Top story. Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins requests a trade. It was just a week ago or two. Cincinnati, I think, put the franchise tag on T. Higgins. So he's going to get paid something like, I think it's like $30 million or something. $20 to $30 million for this one next year. But apparently I just read the overview of the article says that he's disappointed that there's not a long-term contract discussion that's being put out there and hasn't for the last year or so. I mean, they got Ja'Marr Chase, right? That dude's such a bad man that he's going to get paid. And then you go, well, we're going to give all this money to our second receiver. You can for 1 year, but are you going to do that for 3 to 4 years? Because you're also paying Joe Burrow, who's one of the highest paid guys in all of football. So you have those three dudes. It's not going to be a lot left over down the road. So T. Higgins wants out, which to me says, I mean, I don't want him on my team. I'll just tell you that straight up. Because that's just like, yeah, I know money's important, but I want guys that are going to somewhat play for the love of the game and for like for winning. And if you're with Cincinnati, you got a good coach. You got a team that was real close to winning it all. and now you just want to leave? Like, okay, I guess so. You don't want to be a part of that team? No. So maybe Cincinnati should trade him. But if we're the Patriots here, and we are, I don't see standing up to try and get him on our team is necessarily the answer. He wants to be the lead dog. Does he want to win? I'd say probably not. That's my answer. But who knows? The best of Twitter from the weekend. Best of Twitter from the weekend. I saw, just in my regular scrolling, because I spend a lot of time on there to learn about crypto and different stuff. I see one person post, hey, drop me your best pickup line here. What would you say to me? I think it was a female influencer here and said, what would you say to me? What's your best pickup line? And I seen a guy enter in the comments, or somebody enters in the comments, and I'm going to try and say this because it's funny. Drop your best pickup line here. I read the quote. It says, I put the STD in stud, and all I need is you. And I just thought that that's funny. Dude, if you use that out in public, you're definitely going to get a laugh. I'll tell you that right now. I put the STD in stud, and all I need is you. It's horrible. It's horrible, but it is funny. College basketball. I watched Saturday night. I was up late. I fell asleep and then kind of woke up and stayed up to watch the Arizona, because I love Arizona. Arizona played against USC. And, like, okay, USC, their record's horrible. Let me click on it. They were 7-12 in the Pac-12. They're 13-7 overall prior to this game. They were at home, USC hosting Arizona, first place in the Pac-12. They were ranked number 4, number 5 in the country. They were 24-6 heading into the game, 15-4. And USC comes out and beats Arizona 76-65. Now, I will say, early in the season, Arizona was my pick to win it all in college basketball. As the season has gone on, I think I mentioned this once on the show, Caleb Love, he had transferred from North Carolina over to Arizona during the offseason here. He's a guy that has a lot of ability, but he's not a smart basketball player. He's out of control, and I don't think he fits in good as part of a team. I think he's a good like one-on-one player. Hey, we're going to all kind of let you do everything you want to do and just kind of play off you, then he's a great ball player. But if you got to work within the confines of a team with like four other talented players, I think Caleb Love is actually a net negative. If I was Tommy Lloyd there, the coach of Arizona, I would be not playing Caleb Love nearly as much as he plays. But he kind of has to play him, because he got him through the transfer portal. And you don't want that to work out negatively, right? Because for future players going in the transfer portal, you don't want them to be wondering, well, maybe I'm going to go there, and then this coach is just going to bench me. But, I mean, Lloyd could go, well, I mean, let's look at North Carolina, for instance. Caleb Love was on North Carolina last year, and they didn't even make the tournament. Now he leaves, and they're like, definitely a top four team in the country. So, you know, sometimes subtraction actually is addition. And I would say Caleb Love, unfortunately, is definitely that. So Arizona, my point in bringing this up is I think their ceiling is maxed. I don't think they can hit where they would need to be able to win at all. I think it's more likely they'll lose in like the second round, actually, than it is that they'll win at all. But this USC team that I saw play against them, Arizona had cut the lead. Like it was 12 in the second half, and they cut it down to like 6 with 5 minutes to go. And they're going to commercial, and I see the Arizona guys. They're all jacked up. Like, now this is our time. One of the dudes comes off the bench, and you could tell he was attitude. And I was like, ooh, I like that. I like the look of this. Like, Arizona, they're probably going to come back and win. They were all fired up and into the game. But no, USC just comes back from commercial. They withstand the charge, 78-65. USC is the team that I will say we should make a play on, or I'm going to make a play on. How about that? I'm going to make a play on. I'm not giving financial advice to anybody out there what you should necessarily do. But with college basketball, these tournaments, they're a little different. You just, teams can get hot. And you, when you play every day, athleticism matters, height matters, and matchups matter. And USC just took the number one team in the Pac-12 to the woodshed. Like, they just beat up on them Saturday night. So that's entering my criteria, as I kind of suggest that USC, oh, I'm sorry, they're down to 30-1 today. So somebody else is seeing the same thing as me, because last night they were 40-1. They won the game Saturday. Yesterday I noticed USC to win the Pac-12 was 40-1. Now they're down to 30-1, and that's a sizable difference. It's still worth it on my end. I think I'm going to go make a play on them with $100 to win that tournament. But just look at the other teams out there. Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Washington State, UCLA, Stanford, California. If you're following college basketball this year, you're not afraid of any of those teams. I mean, I'm not saying none of them can win, but Arizona's the big favorite. They're minus 160 to win the conference. Second choice to the conference tournament. Second choice is Colorado, 5-1. Well, USC just spanked Arizona. USC literally just spanked. And they got that coach, Andy Enfield, who's gone on a nice tournament run in the past, and now he's been, what is this, maybe third, fourth year or something like that. So it's really probably his first true, full recruiting class who has gone through and played for him for a few years. This guy knows what he's doing as a coach. And what I saw was a team that shared the ball, defended, they had height, athleticism, and they knocked down Arizona, one of the top teams in the country. I'm in on it. Now, USC, I don't think they can... I mean, they'd have to win this tournament to get into the big tournament. And that's where I think that would be a heck of a story to root for USC. If I call it on the show today, Monday, March 11th, if I come on the airwaves and say, hey, USC's the team, I'm going to say, can win the Pac-12. And not only win the Pac-12, maybe you get into the tournament and knock off a team or two. That would be pretty cool to be able to rewind this and say, hey, oh, this guy gave that on the air. Who knows what's going to happen? They could come out and lose first game. It's very possible. But I'm gonna take my shot on USC because it's long odds, and I'm into it. UConn, my goodness, down 13-2 to start the game. They end up winning 74-60. That means they outscored them 72-47. Providence at home. And Providence at home, I think, had beaten like Marquette and Creighton. So Providence at home, pretty good team, but UConn just too much for them. UConn is going to be, they're under the radar for me again. Like, from my own radar, I know they're on everybody else's. They defend a national champion, and they've been the number one seed for a few weeks here, at least during the regular season. I just don't think a team's going back-to-back. And they lost two of their best players from last year, and I just don't think UConn's going to do it again. I'm going to stick to that take. Houston, they beat up on Kansas 76-46 on Saturday. 76-46. Now, Kansas was without one or two of their best players, and their big guy got hurt. I think it was in the first half, Hunter Dickinson, who is a transfer over from Michigan. And Kansas has pretty much been building their offense around him. So when he gets hurt, yeah, that makes a big difference, obviously. And Houston comes defensively every time they play. Just that I don't think Houston got enough offense. Tennessee and Kentucky, they got both. Dalton Connect, I continue to say, this guy's the best player in college basketball. 40 points on Saturday. Kentucky wins, though, 85-81. Let's stay tuned this week for more college basketball talk. Let's see how USC does during the week. And let's see how the Bruins and Celtics do tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow on The Sports Machine with Slim here, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You can hear the replay of this or any of the shows that we have on WKXL Radio right on nhtalkradio.com.